So I was fortunate enough when I was in Perth a week or two ago to be talking to Vedapriya Mataji, and she told me she was going to dress all the deities in flowers this year. And I became very excited and told her that I was going to be there to see it. So somehow or another, by Srimati Radharani's mercy, I've been able to see this beautiful flower outfit. This is the first ever in Melbourne, I've been told. And with a lot of cooperation from the ladies and the devotees in the community. Wonderful. Now it's interesting because I could walk in here, right? I hadn't met Vedapriya. I didn't know anybody here. I just walk in the door and I look at the deities and I think, flowers. Fair enough, that's flowers. That's nice. Very nice. And I walk out the door again, having had a very beautiful visual experience, but that's all. Or I could have the opportunity, as I did this morning, to have Achintya Rupa Mataji standing right beside me, telling me how everyone had put this together, how very cleverly it had been done, how much effort had gone into making this beautiful display of flowers. And by hearing from her, who is very dear to the deities, very close to Radha Vallabha, and very willing to assist others to come also into a very close relationship of service with Radha Vallabha, then I could gain a much deeper appreciation. Without having heard that, then I would have just had a visual experience only. And I wouldn't really understand what it took to make such a beautiful flower decorations and displays and making the deities look so stunning. Many years ago in 1970, after years and years and years of hard work, Srila Prabhupada had the satisfaction of the first printing of his Krishna book. Now this is a many years later edition, all in one. But the first one, as you know, was two books with the silver. And on the front was this picture. So here's the picture. Everyone has seen this picture. So Srila Prabhupada begins, when you open the Krishna book, first you hear some very sweet words from George Harrison, because he was encouraged to support financially the printing of the Krishna book. And then after you read on, you continue on, and you read the preface. So the preface is the first thing in the book. And the first thing that Srila Prabhupada starts with, he starts with a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 1, verse 4. And then after that Sanskrit verse, the first sentence that he writes in English, he says, "In the Western countries, when someone sees the cover of a book like Krishna, he immediately asks, 'Who is Krishna?'" Right? Anyone who sees this book, anyone who's distributing this book, they'll say, "Please take this book." And they'll say, "Who is this?" And then they will say, "Who is the girl with Krishna?" Etc. Now, I had this experience in 1977. We were coming after Srila Prabhupada had departed. We decided to come to India for the ceremonies in Vrindavan. And on the way in the plane, we met one German-Austrian, very sophisticated lady who had been an air hostess for much of her life, and now she had been elevated to the position of an air hostess trainee. And she had some financial or a free ticket or something that had brought her to India. So she was traveling to India without any idea whatsoever what she was going to do when she was there, except for some social things. So somehow she became a little friendly, and we encouraged her. And when we got off the plane, because the difference of our lifestyle was so huge, as you're sitting next to someone in the plane, you can't avoid talking to them, being friendly. But once you get off, you go your aisle, they go their aisle, and off you go. So she headed off, and we headed out, and we had lost our luggage. So we had to stay in Delhi overnight. So this lady, because she had been acquainted with us, she decided to help us. So she came back in the queue and she helped us and said, "I know a nice place you can stay." And she took some care of us. So we went back to the place and she came with us. And of course, once she got a little closer to us, she even more understood that we were very, very, very different. But she and I had to share a room together. So we stayed in the room, and I also understood she was very different as she went out to her party for the evening and came back. And my husband spoke to her very heartily and told her, since you've come to India, you don't know where you're going. Why don't you come with us? We're going to a place called Vrindavan. Why don't you just come? And on the plane he had asked her this, and she had nothing to do, so she had said in gay abandon, yes, I'd love to come with you. But now that she came quite close to us and saw how religious we were and so forth, she had changed her mind. So then just as we were about to leave, he talked to her very intelligently, and he said to her, you and us, we have very different lifestyles. We know that. It's quite apparent. But why don't you take your life and put it in the drawer here in this hotel room just for one day, 2 days, and then you come with us in the taxi and you come right back, you open the drawer, take out your life and off you go again. So she felt unthreatened by this proposal and she came to Vrindavan. Now this person wasn't a spiritual seeker. She was a sophisticated materialist. And we got out of the taxi, and I was there to accompany her everywhere, and it was quite harrowing because she didn't know anything from anything. And she's in Vrindavan, she's not in Delhi or in Melbourne or somewhere where you can ask this question, who is the girl? And lo and behold, we walked into the temple, and there we paid our obeisances, walked up to the first altar, and I was dreading it. She said, who is that? And we talked about Hare Krishna, and she had accepted that. She was Catholic. And who is that? That's Krishna. Okay. Who's the girl next to him? Now, how do you explain? You think for a minute. How do you explain? Who is the girl next to him? A sophisticated, enjoying woman of the world. Who's the girl next to him? So I don't remember what I said, but whatever it was, it didn't make any sense. And very quickly, we skimmed through all the altars and rushed outside, and we went on with the experience. It was quite an experience. But I always remembered that when she said, who is the girl? So when I opened up this morning to find something to share, I saw and I remembered Prabhupada having asked this question. He asked the question, who is the girl? They will ask, who is the girl? Who is the girl with Krishna? And interestingly, if you read this whole preface, he does not go back to that question. He does not answer that question. He leaves that question far, far, far away. Why? Because a person who has not got the right conceptions already in place cannot possibly understand who is the girl next to the handsome young man. So what does he do first? He begins to teach them tattva, philosophy. And he explains to them, first of all, who is God? What is the condition and position of God? God, he has to be, first of all attractive. He's attractive to everyone. He goes on and explains this word Bhagavan. He has six opulences. He is eternal. By definition, he's eternal. He continues on and on and on, speaking the whole thing, basically, about Krishna himself. He gives a very gentle indication that we can have a relationship with Krishna. Of course, everywhere Srila Prabhupada speaks about how we should learn to love Krishna. In a general sense, he speaks very, very openly on this point. But only occasionally, and just very delicately, does he speak about the fact that we, each of us, as eternal parts of Krishna, we have an eternal relationship with Krishna also. And this eternal relationship with Krishna has nothing to do with being a man or a woman or Indian or young or old, or intelligent, or stupid, or a child, or an old man. It has nothing to do with these things, because this all defines our outer covering, just like I have on a brown sweater. And then I have another color, and I can describe to you, you can see, I can describe. But within the covering, then there is the person. So within the person, as we know, there is the soul. And in many religions of the world, they talk about having a soul. They say, my soul feels such and such. My soul, in my soul I feel such and such. And the implication in their misunderstanding is that this is me and I have a soul. Along with so many other things, I have a soul, and the soul is eternal. Okay, what is this soul? What does this soul do? They cannot go any further, because their theology doesn't take them into the depths of actual spiritual understanding. So Srila Prabhupada begins by giving them so much philosophy, 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 so that they can have a pure conception. And with the proper conception, then they can proceed along the pathway of spiritual advancement, step by step. But he gives them very carefully, he guards this. Who is the girl next to Krishna? He says, look over there. Isn't he nice? Do this, do that, do this. But he doesn't tell them, who is this girl? But he assures them that if you follow, read the Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully, begin with the Bhagavad Gita, go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll come to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there you will begin to hear about the pastimes that take place in the eternal spiritual world. Not in this world. Not in this place. As we know, Melbourne, Australia, where everything is made of Ugra karma in the form of earth, water, fire, air, intelligence, all used in the service of sense enjoyment. How can a person who's using all their faculties in the service of sense enjoyment understand the beauty of Srimati Radharani? And yet, there is an amazing thing here in Melbourne, and I noticed this when the first time I saw Radha Balava was in 1974, and they were in St. Kilda in Burnett Street. And before that, in 1972, there was only the little Radha Balava Didis, and I had been there when they were installed by Srila Prabhupada. But I was living at that time in Hong Kong, so I returned to Hong Kong and I didn't follow the progress of the Melbourne Temple any further. So in mid-1974 I returned and I walked into the Burnett Street Temple, which was, as everyone who has seen it, is a terrace house, with a standard terrace house with a hallway down the side, and you walk into the lounge dining room and there was the altar. And I walked in and I saw Radha Balava and I was just actually stunned when I saw the beauty of Srimati Radharani. And practically speaking, I've been to so many temples now all over the world. And of course, over the years she has been painted and so many things, and the opulence and beauty around her makes a full picture of beauty. But then it was very, very simple. And her clothes, everything were very simple and plain, comparatively speaking. But she was so stunning. And I could understand that in this particular temple, Srimati Radharani agrees to show herself more fully than in some places. And in some places, you can't see her very well. She's there, you can tell she's there, but you go straight for Krishna. Like, who's the girl? Don't bother, just look at him. He's very nice? Yes. So you just go straight for Krishna and she's there. But here, there's a competition. And I'm partial to the idea that she easily wins it because she's so stunning that he himself is completely captivated by her beauty. So, back to the idea of knowing through hearing, hearing from Achintya Rupa Mataji how everything took place here, finding out more by knowing it through those who know, rather than trying to understand through the head. Intellectually I can understand, I can assess everything. Philosophically I might understand something. But actually one might ask to me, at least I speak for myself, I'm not very interested in speaking philosophy. I'm not very interested in saying this is this and that is that and so on and so forth. This is the day that comes from the heart. And seeing all the ladies and all of the work that they've put into the decoration for Srimati Radharani reveals that everybody is made happy on this occasion by taking shelter of Srimati Radharani wholeheartedly. But who is she? The question remains. Who is she? And before we answer that in detail, We should understand Srila Prabhupada has spoken, Shastra has told us, other acharyas have spoken similarly, that we ourselves, just think for a minute about this pure conception, we ourselves, regardless of our gender, age and everything else, we are particles of Srimati Radharani. That is how intimate our connection is with her. And as we develop in our Krishna consciousness, first hearing about Krishna, first becoming attracted to his qualities. Why he first? Because that is all she's interested in. If you don't know him, how are you going to know her? If you don't, just like if you meet a very famous couple and they're very loving to each other, if you don't like him, what are you going to be looking at her for? You'll have your own interest in looking at her unless you first know, oh, she belongs to him, not to me, not to my tendency to look and enjoy, but to him. So who is he? Who is she? So I turn today to the prayers, the bhajans of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he is like, you could say, in a very simplified sense, like talking to Achintya Rupa Mataji to hear about the workings of the Radha Balava Mandir's puja. If you want to understand the workings of Sri Vrindavan Dham, then you have to find somebody who's an internal resident of that place. And he is such a person. So he has written, in glorification of Srimati Radharani, 9 songs. But we will not read them all. But I would like to read some part of all of them. He begins by saying, he who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika, who are the abodes of all auspiciousness. Now listen to the 3 things you must not do. Who has not taken shelter in the transcendental abode known as Vrindavan, which is decorated with the beautiful lotus flower named Radha. And who in this life has not associated with the devotees of Radhika, who are very wise and whose devotion for Radha is very deep? What are the 3 things you must not do? You must not, what? What is the first one? Does anyone know? Yes, the first one is you have to carefully worship the lotus feet. Now, these are all knots, right? If I say to you, do not go outside the door, do not go out on the street, and do not get in the car. So that's all knots. So let's turn these to positive. Do, do, do. The first one is carefully worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika, which are the abode of all auspiciousness. And it looks like this has been done very nicely for us today. The second one, what you should not do. Do you know? You should not take shelter of the transcendental abode known as Vrindavan. So you should positive, you should reside in Vrindavan. If one resides in Vrindavan, one can reside physically in Vrindavan if one is so fortunate. One can reside in Vrindavan by remembering Vrindavan. And what was the third one that you should not do? Who knows? Yes, one should not avoid taking the association of the devotees of Srimati Radhika. It's very interesting to note that when Srila Prabhupada, he describes in his verse that I think you were perhaps hearing yesterday, what is the first, do you know the first sentence of his verse? I emphatically tell you, you will achieve your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna only when, what? Srimati Radharani is pleased with you. When she's pleased with you, then Krishna will be pleased. So yes, this is the thing. So Srila Prabhupada, also in the Lilamrita we hear that his father was busily engaged when the boy was born in asking everyone, please, please bless my son, that he may become a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. He went here and there it is recorded. So one who does these three things, one who does not do these things, the question is, how can such a person ever experience the bliss of bathing in the ocean of Lord Shamasunda's sublime mellows? Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us, please understand this most attentively. How can one understand the sweetness of Krishna without understanding and taking shelter of the devotees, the Dham, and Srimati Radharani's lotus feet? How will you understand Krishna? So we may think, oh, yes, well, Srimati Radhika, of course in Melbourne no one thinks like that, but in some places people will think, oh, you know, yes. Srimati Radhika is the teacher of the mellows of conjugal love. The pure love between Radha and Madhava is meant to be discussed and contemplated. Why is the pure love of Radha and Krishna meant to be discussed and contemplated? Does anyone know? What will be the effect? Yes.
That we'll learn to love Krishna.
That we'll learn to love Krishna in a pure way. Yes, anything else? Any other thoughts on that?
Perfect love.
It is perfect love, yes. Yes, this is the main, most important problem that we have. It will cure our material disease. It will cure, what is our material disease? This is a very extensive question actually. We can say it simply or we can say it elaborately. In the simplest form, what would you say our material disease is? Envy? Envy, attachment, lust, yes. Sense enjoyment. And what is the epitome of sense enjoyment?
Sex desire.
So when you see a tree and it's standing on the side of a river, and this is the top of the tree, when the tree is reflected into the material world, what is at the bottom? The same thing that is at the top in the spiritual world is at the bottom. It is the most entangling element of material life, is the attraction between male and female. Now Prabhupada speaks about this also. He's talking about Krishna Katha and how people should read the Krishna book. They should read about Radha and Krishna. He says, this Krishna book will also be very much appealing to the most materialistic persons, because Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are exactly like the loving affairs between young girls and boys within this material world. So for the materialistic person or the beginner in spiritual life, we conceive of ourselves that this is reality. Melbourne, Australia, this is real. This is where everything is happening. I've got my life here, I've got my everything here. This is reality. And some vague, ethereal, divine realm exists. It's very hard to attain, it's very distant, it's some very fortunate persons can aspire to go there. It's there and real, we believe it, but this, this is reality. But as you hear about Krishna, as you progress in spiritual life year after year after year, you begin to realize that this is not reality. This is a reflection, it's the reflection in the water. And then one starts to want to know more and more about the real tree. Because now I can see, this actually has all the characteristics of there, but this isn't reality, this is the reflection. The Bhagavatam teaches us like this. Actually, Prabhupada says, the sex feeling found in human society is not unnatural, because this same sex feeling is there in the original personality of Godhead. The pleasure potency, the potency for pleasure, just think for a minute. Some people may like to be alone. They enjoy just being in their own company. But the general average person enjoys much more with their friends. They go and they find somebody to be with, and they share whatever they're doing with someone. So that sharing, the pleasure that comes from that sharing, there's a potency there. So the pleasure that comes between men and women, there's a potency, a pleasurable potency. There's an experience, a phenomena. The material aspect, the spiritual. This material is a reflection of the spiritual, and that pleasure potency, Krishna's power to have pleasure, is manifest in the form of Srimati Radharani. The attraction of loving affairs on the basis of sex feeling is the original feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we, the conditioned souls, being part and parcel of Him, have such feelings also, but they are experienced within a perverted, minute condition. Therefore, when those who are after sex life in the material world hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, they will relish transcendental pleasure, although it appears to be materialistic. Originally, when they first hear, they will think, oh, this is very... I remember when I moved first in 1970, I moved into the Los Angeles temple quite spontaneously and without prior training in Krishna consciousness. It was kind of a leap of faith. And I remember on the left side of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan, because the temple was much bigger than this, but on the left side there was a very large picture, very, very big, of Radha and Krishna and the eight gopis, four on one side and four on the other, in an Indian style. And there were gardens behind and hedges and a little pond in the front with a beautiful swan and so forth. And sometimes when I was chanting japa, because I was so new and I couldn't really understand anything very much, I used to just look at that picture and I used to think, that's really beautiful. And of course, because of the lack of purification at that time, I was thinking, oh, look at those girls and the boy, and this is really nice. So this was the beginning, that this is very beautiful. Look at him. He's got so many girlfriends. He's really someone. Look at this. And then gradually, gradually chanting Hare Krishna, then the conceptions became purified. And as they became purified, then I looked at that picture quite differently. It began as material. The advantage will be that they will gradually be elevated to the spiritual platform. In the Bhagavatam it is stated that if one hears the pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis from authorities, that means not whimsically, and with submission, that means carefully, hearing properly, not just randomly galloping into something that you cannot understand deeply. If you hear in the proper mood, in the proper way, then he will be promoted to the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord. And the material disease of lust within his heart will be completely vanquished. In other words, such hearing will counteract material sex life. So this is the first, this is a very early benefit. Because of course when one is hearing and hearing further and further, then this doesn't become the predominant obstacle. One starts to become more refined in what one is facing as one's challenges in making advancement in spiritual life. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha, one can never meet Krishna. The Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Sri Radha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks for himself, he says, having abandoned wealth, followers, wife, son and friends, and having given up materialistic activities and speculative knowledge, one should become absorbed in the sweetness of the service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's solemn declaration. Now I will note that this was written, these prayers were written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was very much involved in taking care of a very large family. So he did not take his devotion to Srimati Radharani to the practical plane of abandoning his wife and family. But in his heart, he abandoned the conception that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, and I'm the enjoyer of this. And instead he aspired to take up the mood of serving. I will read you another one. Beyond the Viraja River, what is the Viraja River? Does anyone know? What does the Viraja River define? What does it define?
The divisions between the spiritual and material.
Yes. The division between the spiritual and the material. So we're on one side. So we, from where we are, we can't see, because we look and we'll see this vast expanse that we cannot go beyond. So to hear beyond, we have to hear submissively. Beyond the Viraja river lies the pure spiritual sky, or the Vaikuntha world. And above that Vaikuntha realm lies the divine abode known as Goloka Vrindavan. There is a book written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. It is called Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And it has been very scholarly, very carefully and expertly translated and published by the VVT. And in that book, there is a story. This is Sanatana Goswami's endeavor to educate all of us who are on this side of the Viraja River. And he tells a story through the mouth of one, it's like autobiography, one young cowherd boy from Vrindavan. He tells another brahmana that he meets and wants to enlighten. He tells him about his own spiritual development. It's like if you're preaching, you might say to somebody, oh, I was like you before, and then I did this, and that happened, and so on and so forth. So that person can develop some confidence that I too can make spiritual progress because you have. So Gop Kumar is the character, and he describes elaborately his transitions upward by his chanting. He's chanting, he's given a mantra, he chants the mantra very faithfully, and by the power of the mantra he elevates himself up, like an elevator. And he goes up this elevator and he describes what he sees. So it's like as if I said, well, I got in the elevator and I went to the first floor. And on the first floor there was this amazing this and that and that and that and that, and it was really nice. But then I was getting a little bored, so I got back in the elevator and I went to the next. Like this, he describes the whole universal, all the different planetary systems. And he enters and goes higher and higher until he comes actually to the covering of the universe. And he keeps chanting his mantra, and the power of his mantra propels him through all the layers, which one is thicker than the one before, and propels him into the spiritual world because he wants to serve Krishna. So then he comes in first place, he goes as the effulgence that we hear of Krishna has a Brahman effulgence. He goes to that place, but he's a little uncomfortable there, and he goes on from there to another place, and there he can see that if he wanted he could actually merge into the person who he's worshipping. He doesn't want that. He quickly goes up from there until he comes to Vaikuntha. And then he describes what it's like in Vaikuntha. Imagine, here we all are. We don't know. We have no way of knowing. But Sanatana Goswami has said, you can know these things. And as you know them, you'll want to go there. And you'll see the inadequacies in staying here. And this is the very first and primary and most important step for spiritual life. So you have to hear about another place, just like a caterpillar, right? It's resting on one leaf. It goes like this, you must have seen. And when it finds another leaf, then only can it lift the back part of its body and settle in another place. So until we hear and hear and hear about the spiritual world, why should we go there? What's the impetus? And there's so many demands on us here that it's very difficult for us to think of anything other than all of the things that are pulling us and compelling us into action here. Okay. Sorry. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, he tells us that the Vaikuntha Lokas, there are so many planets, all the various forms of Lord Vishnu have their planets, and there's no anxiety there, and complete bliss is there. But further than that, you can go higher and higher until you come to Vrindavan. And he compares, through the mouth of the personified Bhagavatam, he compares Krishna's lotus feet to a lump of sugar. And then he gives an interesting reason why Krishna's lotus feet are compared to a lump of sugar. He says within the Brahman, the unformed effulgence, the jyoti, the energy of the Supreme Lord, there is sweetness. But with Krishna's lotus feet, there's sweetness and the source of the sweetness. So there's two things. You've got like a lump of sugar, you've got sweetness, but you've got the source of the sweetness. So you can take more and more and more and more because the source of the sweetness is right before you. So Krishna's lotus feet are the source of the sweetness. So just imagine what Srimati Radharani's lotus feet must be like. The land of Vrindavan is made of spiritual gems and is therefore likened to a mine of fully cognizant and blissful jewels. Have you ever seen a jewel that's fully cognizant and blissful? Have you ever seen, you go past a jeweler's shop downtown and you see these jewels and they're all dancing? They're all moving around with their hands in the air. We don't see this. We cannot see these things here. We see an inert piece of stone, which because of the way it's cut, it may be impressive. But Krishna's Goloka Vrindavan is not like that. There's nothing inert there. Everything is active and alive and transcendental. Within that abode where everything is fully conscious resides Sri Krishna, who is compared to a charming tamal tree, which is considered to be the best of trees and possesses the color like that of a rain cloud. And he, because he's speaking about jewels, what jewel do you think he might be comparing him, the tamal tree, to?
Sapphire.
Sapphire, yes. Upon that blackish tree has appeared a beautiful golden creeper. Her name is Mahabhav, due to being the essence of the pleasure-giving Ladini potency. She is the conqueror of all realms. She is the supreme purifier and the enchantress of Sri Krishna, who is himself the enchanter of all the worlds. She is also known as Radha, whose friends, headed by Lalita, are compared to her leaves and flowers. The creeper, meeting with all of her friends, firmly embraces that blackish tree named Govinda, and having satisfied his heart, remains there in great ecstasy. At the touch of the creeper, the tamal tree blooms, but without her embrace, he can no longer exist. The creeper, without the company of that tamal tree, is also unable to live. Therefore, she always prays for their meeting. Bhaktivinoda desires nothing else but the meeting of this divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the crest jewel of all young women. She is the beloved daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and she's very fond of wearing blue colored garments. Her very pleasing complexion conquers the beauty of cut gold. Now, have you ever seen cut gold? You know, sometimes you look in a shop and they have rings and they make cuts in the gold on different angles and it sparkles. The gold itself may become a little dulled because it's just smooth on the top. When they cut it, it just shimmers with goldenness. Her locks of hair are nicely arranged, and she is the life and soul of Sri Krishna. Srimati Radharani, who is very learned in the science of rasa, is artfully adorned with jewels, nicely decorated with tilak, and covered in a beautiful dress. She wears valuable gems, and her eyes are anointed with kajal. Thus she appears as sweetness personified. Give up everything, tells Bhaktivinoda. Give up everything and become a maidservant of the lotus feet of Radharani. Just worship her and serve her with great care and attention. Beholding her effulgent rays of beauty, Rati, Gauri, and Leela abandon all their pride. So who is Rati, Gauri, and Leela, do we know? Rati is the wife of Cupid. Gauri, the wife of? And Leela? Indra? At her feet the good fortune of Sachi, that's the wife of Indra, I think, Lakshmi and Satya are all defeated. So all these ladies, I do not know also who Leela is, but these ladies are considered the most exalted feminine personalities in the whole of the creation, but they're all defeated by her. The gopis led by Chandravali are all staunch competitors of Radharani for Krishna's favor. Yet, they all accept their defeat by Srimati Radharani, for she alone controls Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a resident of Godram Dweep, always endeavors for the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, the most beloved of Lord Hari. So I was listening one time, I was walking in New Zealand listening to a tape, and Srila Prabhupada was saying that people nowadays, they're very interested in becoming God. You see this? People are very interested in this. It's a very attractive subject to them. They want to become all powerful. They want to become one with God. In some concept or idea or another, they have this in mind. But Srila Prabhupada said, why do you do that? He said, why don't you, a better position, there's a better position available. He says, you can become the father of God. You can become the mother of God. And if you stop for a minute and think, in other words, you can become the controller of God. So of course, most people, you would tell them, why try to be God? Why don't you try to become his controller? They haven't got any way to understand what's being said. But out of love, there are controllers of God. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that Krishna, he is known as Madan Mohan, because his attractiveness is so great that he can attract the minds of everyone. So he is Madan Mohan. He bewilders everybody. But Srimati Radharani, she is Madan Mohan Mohini. So she bewilders even the bewilderer of everyone. So this is the speciality of Srimati Radharani. So it's getting a little late, and I'm sure you all have a busy day ahead of you. So I would like to stop here. If anyone has any questions, please ask them. Srimati Radharani ki
jai.
Shishi Radha Balava ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So are there any questions? If not, we'll finish. Have any question? Yes, Prabhu. We should put a flower in Srimati Radharani's hand, says Srila Prabhupada. And we should say to Srimati Radharani, please pray to your Krishna, because Krishna is yours. So just as we say, Krishna is yours, we say this to the Vaishnava also, Vaishnava Thakur, Krishna is yours, you have the power to give him to me. So we pray to Srimati Radharani, because Srila Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani is so sweet, she's the compassionate nature of Krishna. So she has all the ideal feminine qualities unlimitedly present in Srimati Radharani. So we should pray to her, please, 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 if you would be so kind, recommend me to Krishna so he can give his mercy. And we know that we're followers of Shishi Gaur Nithai. We see them so beautifully decorated. I was thinking today how it's appropriate that everyone is wearing flowers, because everyone is linked. They're non-different from each other. So here is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And we're so much encouraged by Srila Prabhupada, and he was so adamant about preaching, because preaching is a compassionate act. He wanted people to give Krishna to others. This is the mood of Krishna, it is the mood of Srimati Radharani. So we can pray to her, please, that we may become blessed, so that we can actually come to a point where Krishna consciousness and Krishna himself become so real to us that it's not difficult anymore to make spiritual advancement. But rather it's quite easy. Just as if I'm hungry and it's not a fast day and I know prasadam is upstairs, it's very easy for me to stand up and walk across this room and go up the stairs. That my spiritual life should become vital and easy like that. no matter what my situation is, no matter what my difficulties, my encumbrances are, that somehow or another my spiritual life should go on very peacefully and steadily and strongly. And Srimati Radharani is very, very, very kind. So we shouldn't have any fear that, oh, I don't know, she might not like me. Or I might not like her. Or she might get in the way of my, oh, I don't know. Because sometimes people feel like that, like you ask them to take a cold bath or something. But no, we should feel quite different than that. We should feel like coming close to her warmth and praying to her, please help me. Whatever my problems are, please help me with those things. Whatever my strengths and offerings I would like to make are, please help me to make them. Give me the strength. I belong to you. I belong to him through you. You're an expansion of him. I'm coming through you. So please bless me with some realization. This is one prayer we can make. I'm sure there are many, many others. Sometimes we pray on a very simple level, right? Like, please help me get through today. Or please help me with something quite specific. Srimati Radharani is very kind. Any other questions? I saw something over here. Yes, please. Yes. These are called the Radhika Astakam. It's in Gitabali, it's in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songbook, which is published in ISKCON publication. So you can see them in there. There's more. Alright. Anything else? Something from the Vrindavan side? Alright. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.